is a good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
And it's a new day. How you doing, folks? I'm Rhett. I have very exciting testimony from Catherine Larson today. And Catherine Larson traveled throughout the world as an opera singer. She now hails from Vero Beach, Florida, but originally hailed from Michigan, correct?
Correct, from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ann Arbor, Michigan, where it's chilly and the people are chilly and the movement of God is with the Frozen Chosen up there, or the Frozen Unchosen, but maybe that'll change now when the melting occurs and the harvest is ready.
Well, there was a lot of warmth, actually, during COVID, strangely. I used to drive out to the Detroit riverfront and sing a cappella along the riverfront. I would sing gospel music, and a lot of people would crowd around me, and that way I was able to deliver the gospel in a time when people were losing hope during COVID.
Oh, really? Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Now, I understand you were not always a believer in Jesus. Like, I was into Eastern religions till I was 29 and had an epiphany experience. What is your story, Catherine Larson?
Well, I was raised a Protestant, but and I didn't really have a personal relationship with Christ. And I was 23 years old and became engaged to a man. And on the night of our engagement, he died in a car crash. And it seemed to me like just a terrible, cruel twist of fate. And I decided I didn't want to know a God that would do that in my life. And there are two things that you can do when you come up against a tragedy like that. And that is it can draw you closer to God, or you can make the decision to walk away from him. Unfortunately, I took the second decision and I walked away. I said, I don't want to know a God that did this, and I'm just going to live my life as though there is no God.
Well, he does say, I wish above all things that thou were either hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So now you'd gone from lukewarm to absolutely cold against God.
In fact, I hated Christians. If I came up to a Christian, found someone was a Christian, I would walk away from them. I thought they were stupid for believing what they believed in. And I got a job that took me to Arizona, and I was in Phoenix, Arizona. When I arrived, the moment I arrived, the woman that picked me up gave me a joint, and I smoked my first joint. And
it's a marijuana joint in those days.
From that moment on, I found that it deadened the pain of the loss of my fiance, and so I started doing drugs. And I did drugs for the 4 years that I lived in Arizona. And that's the problem, is when you walk away from God, the other one takes over. There isn't any fence in the middle. There's no gray area. You're either God's or you're the other ones. And so he took care of me. He blessed me, the devil, with a lovely home at the base of Camelback Mountain. I had lots of money. I had lots of stock options. I was running a six-person department with a $500,000 budget, and I was young. I was very young. I was 26 years old. My boss called me one day and he said, there's a man in engineering that we're going to put in your department. He just uses the same materials as advertising, so we're going to put him in there because he uses a waxer and everything. It'll save us money, but he's not really your employee. He's just going to be there under you. So the man walked in the first time. His name was Clito Luartes. He walked in, and the minute he walked in, I hated him. He had slicked back hair. He had a suit and tie on. Nobody wore a suit and tie in Phoenix. And I just knew from his demeanor that he was a Christian. And, you know,
you hated the guy.
The thing is, when you're miserable,
yeah,
you don't want someone around who's filled with joy. No. Because all they do is point out the fact that, you know, by their presence, they show how miserable you are. And so I made a decision I was going to get rid of him as quickly as I could. So the poor man, you know, he was in his 50s, mid-50s. He had a lovely wife and children, as I understood. Everybody in my department liked him, but I didn't. And I remember he was working on a technical manual for about 2 months.
Yeah.
And he finished it up, and I said, all right, now's my opportunity. So I took his technical manual. He brought it into the office to take it to engineering, and I marked it all up with terrible comments like, this doesn't make any sense, this is messy. So basically, I falsely accused him. And I wrote these comments in red on his original artwork. So he had to redo the whole thing. It's a 200-page manual.
Oh.
And I took it in front of everyone, and I plopped it on his desk. And I said, you should be ashamed of yourself for handing in something this terrible. And I need you to do it over. You can't. This can't be coming from my department. And I thought for sure he would follow me into my office and yell at me and use some curse words.
So you could fire him.
I could fire him.
Yeah.
So I went in my office, and 10 minutes went by, and finally the man came in. And his eyes were red, and I thought, what a weak man.
Mm.
This will be easy to fire him. He shut the door quietly behind him, and he said, not since I was a young boy has anyone hurt me as much as you just did out there. He said, you must be in a lot of pain to have done that to someone. Is there anything I can do to help you? And it was like someone took a knife and stabbed me in the chest and opened up my heart. And all that pain fell out. And I said, not since Chuck died has anyone asked me if they could help me. No one's shown me any compassion. And I said, yeah, I'm in a lot of pain. And I cried like I'd never cried, because when you're on drugs, you don't feel anything. And after a while, it got to be kind of a messy cry. And he took a handkerchief from his back pocket. It was monogrammed, and he held it out to me. And that was a moment of levity between us. I laughed. I said, I haven't seen a handkerchief since my grandfather died. He says, you can keep it. And so after that, he said, I can help you if you want me to help you. And I said, I want you to help me. And he said, there's something I read at times like this. Is it okay if I read it? So he pulled his wallet out of his back pocket, and I said, please read it. And he unfolded the paper, and it was a series of lines. I don't remember all of them, but it started out like this. It says, where there is light, there can be no darkness. God is light. There is no darkness in him. And it continued on with verse after verse, and at the end it says, he shall never leave you nor forsake you. And I said, that's beautiful. What's it from? He said, it's from the Bible. And I said, yeah, I kind of knew that. And he said, Catherine, I'm not an evangelist. If I was an evangelist, I would ask you to get on your knees now and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. But he said, I believe it's a very personal decision. And if you do this thing, it's going to change your life. And I said, I hate my life. And he said, then you're in a good place.
All bottled up inside.
Yeah. So he left, and I said, I have to go home. I can't stay here. I went home, and I curled up in a fetal position on my bed.
Sure.
And I stayed there till sunset. And at sunset, I got on my knees for the first time in my life, and I said, please help me. Help me. I'm an addict. I hate my life, and I know you're real. You have to be real. If you're real, come to me now. And I felt a peace come over me like never before. I stopped crying. I wasn't sad. I felt joy. I wasn't alone. And I slept like that night like I've never slept before. I got up the next morning. I didn't have puffy eyes or anything like you do when you've been crying for a whole day. I looked great. I didn't even want a cup of coffee. I didn't want, you know, any cocaine or anything else, which I was prone to do.
Totally delivered.
I went into the office. I actually made breakfast. I never had breakfast.
Yeah.
I went into the office, and I was smiling. Everybody looked at me. I don't think they'd ever seen me smile. Everybody's looking at me, and my secretary followed me into my office. She says, okay, who'd you meet last night? What's his name? I said, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
What's his name?
Because she thought I'd been at the bars, you know, and I'd met some great guy. Well, so yeah. Cleto walked in. He stuck his head in the door, and he says, you did it, didn't you? And I said, yes, I did. And she said, my secretary said, what did she do? And he said, she accepted Jesus Christ. And she said, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're all Christians here. We were just waiting for you to come into the truth, Catherine.
What a story.
It changed my life overnight. I have to say that before that, my house was a party house, and I used to have people coming over all the time bringing drugs and having parties all through the night.
Wow.
They didn't want to lose me, and so I had people coming with bags of cocaine and just trying to give it to me for free,
oh,
trying to get me back into it. I think God wanted me out of that. I know he wanted me out of that. Sure. And the only way to get me out was the company I was with went bankrupt, and I lost everything. I lost my house, and I decided to move back to South Bend, Indiana, which was where I was born. And my mother died in the middle of making that decision. She died of cancer rather rapidly. And she had always said that I could run my own business. She always believed in my ability. And so I went to every ad agency in South Bend, Indiana, and none of them wanted me. They said I had too much experience. And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to start my own ad agency, and I'll call it Momentum after my mother. Because the first three letters were Mom. So I became the first woman-owned ad agency.
Great.
And I gave it all to God. I said, you put me here. You saved me out of that. I know you can bring me back from the hole that I'm in, because I was in terrible debt. And within 1 year, I was billing $250,000. Wow. I had two employees, and that went on for 3 years. I ran Momentum. And then I made the decision. I thought, well, you know, this is all my life is about is making money, right? So I decided I would maybe get married, try again, right? So I called one of my clients, and I said, how do I do this? How do I get married? And she said, well, you have to meet a guy first, Catherine. And I said, well, I don't know how to do that because I don't go to bars or anything. And she said, well, come sing at our church. And I said, well, I don't know how to sing. And she said, none of us do either.
So at this time, you weren't a famous opera singer.
I didn't even know how to sing.
Oh,
she. And she said,
come sing at our church.
None of us can sing
now,
either.
Now, does she mean sing with the group or actually get up there and sing?
Well, with the church group, yeah.
Oh,
the choir.
Oh,
right?
The choir, okay.
Yeah. And she said, the reason this will work for you is the choir faces the congregation, and there are a lot of single men in the congregation, right?
Yeah.
So she said, that'll be perfect. You'll meet men that way, and they'll be Christian men. So I came to the first choir rehearsal, and of course I couldn't read music. And so I just faked it. I sang a couple half beat after the person next to me, and they thought I was an alto because I have a low speaking voice.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Gather.